Today we're talking a bit about the power of love, the power of love. So I had to share a young love story. And we're talking about love as a calling and being a disciple as a calling of love, really. And sometimes love drives us to do some pretty crazy stuff, right? Have you ever done something kind of crazy out of love? We probably all have done something. So I have a little story about young love for you. Sure to warm your heart. Back in 2002, I was a freshman at Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, a little closer to the equator than here, perhaps, a little warmer. I had a lot more hair, probably a little less inches around the waistline, all that good stuff. It was a while ago at this point. And I was a theater major for like one semester. Was taking this intro to theater class, and there was a girl in that class that I wanted to get to know a little bit better. I wanted to impress her. So what did I do? Well, it was a theater class, and she was a dance major or something like that, and she was trying out for a dance production. So I thought, I'm going to go and cheer her on. That will surely win her heart over. But then that crazy love kicked in. And I decided to one-up myself. I decided to go and try out for the dance myself. So there I was, in this dance studio, pursuing a first date. And I did not have any of that like Lycra. Yeah, I didn't have a leotard or, you know, dance shoes or anything like that. Pretty sure I was barefoot. I came in like the closest thing I could cobble together was like Under Armour leggings and like a plaid pajama top or something like that. And after about 5 minutes of rolling around and probably like pretending I was a tree or something like that, the instructor kicked me out because he realized it was not for real. And that humorous antic won over her heart for a couple weeks or something like that. Young love. Young love has a tendency to make us do some silly things, but love in general has a tendency to make us do some powerful stuff, sometimes kind of crazy stuff. As I've been meditating and thinking about our gospel lesson from John this week, I can't help but think of this story because the disciples really took on the calling of love, and that love would drive them to go to some pretty crazy places. And I think that being a disciple means to take up a calling of love, a call that drives us to go and be with people that we might not otherwise be associated with, or go to places where we might be afraid to tread if it wasn't for the power of love. It's a call that drives us to do some pretty wild stuff, difficult stuff, really hard stuff. And it beckons us to go to those broken places and be with those broken people in the world, and perhaps even recognize in ourselves our own brokenness. We want to see Jesus as disciples. Seeing Jesus is a call of love. It's a call of love because it means that you go out there and you see Jesus in those broken places and people. It means you are called to go and serve in those places in some way, shape, or form. And that you recognize Jesus in the people that he would serve. So that's what I want to talk about with you this morning. The gospel begins with some Greeks, and these would be foreigners to the disciples. They come to Philip, a disciple, and they say, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." So Philip tells Andrew, then Andrew tells Philip, and Philip and Andrew go to tell Jesus about this together. Why in the world does the gospel start off this way? With this sort of cascading, so-and-so tells so-and-so, then so-and-so and so-and-so go and tell Jesus? Seems bizarre. Is it a waste of ink? Probably not. Is it an ancient game of telephone? Probably not. Is it some sort of internal bureaucracy with the disciples? I don't think so. I think this exchange is important. You see, after the disciples find Jesus, the first thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth has to do with his death. They say, "Hey, Jesus, these Greeks, they want to meet you." Perhaps with a sigh, he says, "You know, guys, there's going to be a time when I'm not around anymore. There's going to be a time when you need to do this on your own." Then he talks about his death. It's important that this is the last public teaching moment that Jesus has in John's gospel. He's talking about taking the training wheels off because he's not going to be around for much longer. He spells out that he's going to die and things are going to change very soon, so they better listen up. So I think there's something very big to this ancient game of telephone, so to speak. I think it has to do with the goal that John, as the gospel writer, has in mind. Not just for his reading, but for the whole gospel. Seeing Jesus, recognizing him in the craziness, and in the midst, in the ick, and in the mess of life. Maybe not seeing the physical Jesus sitting somewhere, but recognizing his presence, his work, his loving acts, his teachings out there in the world, when we can very easily get lost looking for Waldo. The disciples like us don't always get it when they meet up with Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, these Greeks want to see you." But something big has happened. And it is the fruits of love, I believe. You see, these disciples were sought out by these Greek folks, and they missed an opportunity, I think. Because they go and they want to track down Jesus in the craziness of the city and find him at work. But the thing is, they could have been, and perhaps they ought have been, the presence of Jesus for those Greeks that were looking for Jesus. But also, I think there's something really powerful to the fact that they were sought out by these Greeks, these foreigners, who were totally different than them. It's possible that the Greeks recognized they were disciples just by the way they were carrying themselves, just by the way they were living and working and hanging out in the city. They were pegged as disciples, perhaps, even though they didn't realize the Greeks knew it. Have you ever gotten pegged for something? What do I mean by that? Maybe somebody can just tell by the way that you carry yourself, you must be in law enforcement. Ah, she must have been a Girl Scout. Ah, he must be a pastor. Ah, he must have been a military. Have you ever been pegged for something? Somebody can just tell something about you? Well, in some ways, I think that's what happens in this story today. The Greeks, the foreigners to the disciples, recognize in them, by how they're carrying themselves and living in the world and working and ministering in the city, these guys know Jesus. But the disciples think they actually want to physically go and see the man himself. I mentioned earlier that after Philip and Andrew encounter Jesus to talk to them, he says something along the lines of, "Hey guys, there's going to come a time when I'm not here anymore." And then he tells them about his death and the seed falling to the earth. Otherwise, it's just a shell that doesn't meet its full potential. It does not bloom into new life. But then he also goes on to tell them what being a disciple of his looks like. He says, "Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant must be also." And this is powerful, because it basically says to be a follower of Jesus, we got to go where he goes to serve him. Where he goes, we must go to serve him. As I told the kids, we don't really know where it was that the disciples went and tracked down Jesus in the town. We heard maybe he was in the garden, maybe he was in the temple. We don't know exactly where he was. But I think if those Greeks really truly wanted to see him, they would have gone off the beaten path a little bit. They may have gone down into the alleyways. They may have gone with the sick. They may have gone to visit the imprisoned. They may have gone to the gutters or the ghettos with the naked and needy or the hungry and thirsty, to the shut-in or the shut-out or the shut-up. I can't help but think of Matthew 25. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. Sick and you visited me. In prison and you came to me. This says that Jesus doesn't just go and spend time in those broken places with broken people, but it means when you go to those places and care for those people, you're really seeing him and you're really serving him. To be a disciple, to follow that calling of crazy love, means you see him in broken places and people. And when you take care of those places and people, you serve him. Being a disciple means to follow a calling of love. It can drive you to do some difficult things, some really hard stuff. But the joy of discipleship calls us to go where we might not be comfortable. When I think about this calling of love, about getting driven out to a place where we might not want to go, but we do it because of love, I can't help but think of growing up in rural Minnesota. I was probably in like 10th grade, and I recall very vividly my little brother, who is now a grown man. He's a doctor. He's like in his 30s with two kids. I remember him not showing up one night. He went out to spend some time with some friends, and he did not come home. My parents started getting nervous around 10 o'clock. Where is he? Around 11 o'clock, the phone calls to other parents happened. Around midnight, well, we crossed the threshold. My dad got ready to head out, go and drive and look around the roads to see if there were paths leading down into the ditch. Out into the foggy countryside, he looked to see if his son had gotten into an accident. 2 a.m, we find out that he had just fallen asleep at a friend's house on the couch watching a movie. Dad went out into the world out of love, followed a calling to look for that one lost sheep. He went to a place where he didn't want to go. I can't even imagine, as a parent, how that must have made him feel. But being a parent, like being a disciple, drives us sometimes to follow a calling in which we go out of love to a place where we are uncomfortable, where there is a need, where there is someone that needs to be taken care of, knowing the risk involved in doing so, because love knows no other way. My prayer for us is that as a church, as we ponder the words of John this morning, that we can ask whether or not we reflect Jesus in our words and our actions, so somebody like those Greeks could just say, these folks are disciples right here. Whether or not they see Jesus in who we are and what we say and what we do, my hope is that as a church, we might ask ourselves where we might go to see Jesus today out of love. Where might we be afraid to go? Where might we be afraid to go out of love? And as a church, we might ask where in whom we might see Jesus in that craziness and ick and messiness of the world. Where might we follow in his footsteps to serve him today out of love in this community and in our city and our state and in the rest of the world? So I pray that as a church, as we face out into the world, that each of us reflects that light and love of Christ so people can peg us as disciples, and that we can see Jesus in those broken places and people, and we can serve in those places and people, and that we would see him in those that we would serve out of love. Amen?